I'm gonna just bring a few little points tonight. But in thinking about what I was just talking about a little while ago, thinking about home, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12 and verse 9, it mentions two words that we are going to receive one day. One of them is going to be our inheritance. We all, one day, are going to have an inheritance. And it's not going to be the inheritance that somebody's left to us down here either. It's going to be the inheritance of what the Savior has. What the Savior has, we're going to have the same inheritance. But in speaking about that, we also had the word rest in the same verse. It says, come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord God giveth you. See, God give us the rest. And He gives us an inheritance that one day we'll be able to receive. We're not going to inherit anything down here. Only thing that we're going to have, say, an inheritance about is what maybe our family member has left us now, that where we're still alive and here on earth. But see, one day, all that's going to come to naught. Every bit of it's going to burn. It's not going to be no flood. They talk about, some of them still think that an Al Gore and all of them nuts, they think that one day that the world is going to be flooded. Well, it's not going to happen. I can tell you, and I can promise you, that it's not going to happen. And I have the proof of it. And not only the proof of it, which is in God's Word, but God gives us also a sign that we know that we're never going to ever see the world itself. Yes, some places it seems some awful floods. And yes, and they took lives. But I'm talking about the whole world. The whole world itself is not going to be flooded like what they think it is going to happen. What's going to happen is that God is going to turn the fire on this earth. What does fire do? Purifies. What does fire do? It refines. You can take, well, matter of fact, I just said to jewelry. Oh, eating jewelry Monday afternoon. And I went over to get my wedding band resized because it was loose. And I'd get in the shower and I'd be washing, and then I'd wash my hand and everything, and it would just slip off. And I was scared that I'd go in the blue. I've had it now. Next Saturday?
This Saturday.
This Saturday, I'll be to have that ring. The same ring for 45 years. And I don't want to lose it now. And I don't want to have to go ahead and buy another one. But when they resized it, and the way they done it, they cut it. And they cut so much out of it to where, when they did, this is the way that I've read it. I don't know if that's the way they've done it or not. I don't know. But what I have read and what I've seen them do is that they will take it and they will cut it. And then they would take it and they would put it under heat. And they would, it will go back together. Don't ask me how it's done. I mean, that's between God and them. I don't know. But when a fire hits that metal there, it's not a red fire. It's the hottest fire that there is, and that's the blue fire. And this is now this is what I got off of the internet and everything, which I know my wife and my daughter says sometimes you just can't believe everything goes on the internet, which you can't a lot of times, but you know, I just read it and everything. And they said that when they heat that metal for that metal to be workable again, to where they can take it and squeeze it back together without losing its shape or its circle per se, they said that metal would get just as blue as the heat would. Now, thinking about that, that right there tells me one thing. That God the Father, what He had to do, the day that I got saved, He had to cut a part of my life out. He had to cut a part and the things that I was holding on to out of my life. And then He took, with the power of the Holy Spirit, He took the fire that He speaks of in the Word of God. I think it's in the book of Isaiah. It may not be in my, I can't think of it right now, but it's speaking about the refiner's fire. And what He's trying to do, He's trying to refine me into what I was originally supposed to be. That is when the predestination, that's where that comes in. See, people today, they get hung up on it, predestination, and say, well, you predestined for heaven. And they say that you predestined for hell. You can go and you can look in the Old Testament. You can look in the New Testament. And the same word, predestined, means the same thing in the new as it does in the old. And vice versa. What it means is that when God created Adam, Adam 1, the first Adam, when he created Adam, he created Adam a perfect being. He was perfect. He didn't have no flaws. And if you think about it, you think about when somebody talk about, well, who was the smartest of all the individuals that we know of? The first indication, the first individual that will come to our mind is who? Einstein, right? Because he was a smart man. I mean, he knew things way before anybody else did. He had the intellect to where he could just look and he could just see it. But I want to ask you something. Adam was a whole lot smarter than Einstein was. Because after Adam was created, then what did happen? God created what? Right before he created Adam, he created the mammals, he created the fish, he created the animals, all types of animals. But who did he give the job to in naming each and every one of the animals? And he did not, and God, you'll find nowhere in God's word is where God says, I told Adam what to name that particular animal. He gave God, God gave Adam that job to do. Why? Because God was looking at other things and he was going to work on other things. Can you imagine going out here and looking over in a fence and where we see cattle that will give white milk, but yet we don't call them. See that animal? You see that hog over there? You see that pig over there? No. The right name went for every one of them. And I wish I'd have brought it tonight, but I don't. I don't have it with me. But in each one of the animals, each and every letter that is prescribes that animal and what the name of it is, is biblically. It's biblical. And I know I shared this one with y'all once before, but you know, that's just like the different animals that we see today ourselves. How many have ever seen a car, a truck, or a tractor trailer has run over a dog out here? I have. What do you see on that dog? When the dog was laying there dead, the tractor, trailer, automobile, what it was, hit him. I mean, it just split him wide open. But did you see any of insects that was on the animal? The flies and different things. Which a fly is nothing but a magnet. What's that word? I think it's a magnet. Maggot. That's what a fly is. A fly is nothing but a maggot. A fly will, if a fly gets on you, what do? You want to get him off of you. Why? Because he irritates you. Right? But I want to ask you something. There's one animal that I've seen on the highway that where a car has run over, truck or tractor trailer has run over. But I've never seen a maggot, a fly. I've never seen I can't get things right tonight. The buzzards eating away at the flesh. There's one animal that you will never keep. You'll ever see where a buzzard is eating them. Or a maggot is they've owned.
It's gotta be a skunk.
And that's exactly what it is. The skunk. Why? Because that was what Adam named it. Adam named it, and I wish I did have a list. But you'd be surprised at what's list. And tails in, and what is in the Bible, which the first letter is S, and the second letter is H, right? I can't think of the other three, but I know them two, right off the top of my head. The first one is Satan. The Bible speaks of it. Satan. Have you ever seen any, do you know of any other animal like that gives off an odor? Like a skunk does? I haven't. But they give off an odor the other animals can't even stand. We can't stand it. Animals can't stand it. But, and then the other one, you've got Satan and you got H. H is what? Hell.
And did you realize that inhale, and that's the type of odor that we're going to have, that if you're not saved? We're not going to have it if we're saved. And you know in your heart if you're saved or not. I'm the only one that's here tonight can absolutely say myself that I know myself that I'm saved. I can't say it about you because I don't know about your heart. But your testimony and what fruit I've seen gives me indication that everyone in here is saved tonight. But I don't know it for certain. I could not, and I would not put my life on. I could not depend on it. I could not put my life and say, I'm going to put my life up. And saying that each and every one of you say, I can't do that. I don't know it. Only you. That's between you and God. That's between me in God. And I know that, and I should have said something, I didn't even mention it. But when I was talking to y'all right at first, and then I said that one of the doctors said that it looked like the CAT scan showed that it was cirrhosis of the liver. Well, When he told me that, he come back and he did ask me. He said, do you drink? I says, no, sir. And what I wanted to say, which Shep was running, and I don't want to say, you know, what her been at, but what I wanted to say is, I don't drink in what you're thinking about. But I get drunk every weekend on the new wine. And if I really had told him that, he wouldn't have understood it. He wouldn't have understood where I was going when I said that. But when I say that, you've got to remember one thing. Over in the book of John, chapter 3, talking about the wedding, talking about the six pots. And they asked Jesus to go and have the pots refilled. They don't want to refill with the same stuff. He refilled it. Did you know? And what Jesus refilled them six pots with for the marriage supper? Did you realize that what he called it was wine? Did you realize that a 6, 7, or 8-year-old child can go with you or go with me into the grocery store, and if they don't have the money, I can give them the money and they can go up out and they can purchase the same thing that they had back then. Or I ain't going to have the... It's not going to have the grape skin and all that, because I know some of that got in there. But it's just like when we have communion. That right there is just as close to what they served back then. Because what did they say afterwards? What did they want Jesus to do? They said, now he done turned his water into wine. How many of you had people that say, well, you talk about this and you talk about that. You should not drink no hard liquor. You should not drink no wine. It's in the Bible that you don't drink a wine. You don't do this and that. It's there. But what do? When we ever read the thing about wine and where the Bible says, when Paul speaks about it and when Dr. Luke speaks about it, says don't partake of the wine. What are they saying? Don't partake of the hard drink. And we shouldn't. Because that right there is fermented. It's been set up for a while. That's just like the alcohol. That's just like you go down to the ABC store and you can go in there and buy whatever size you want to the ABC store. Where did it first start at? It started right there in the field. With a grape. Then they would bring it in, and what did they? They meshed it or done what they had to do to get it to where the blend that they wanted. But before they put it on the market, what did they do? They put it in storage 5-10 years. Why do they put it in storage like that? See, the longer it sets, the longer it ferments. And the longer it ferments, the longer that turns into alcohol. And that is what people think about when anybody speaks about wine. They say, well, a sip of wine at the supper table, glass of wine at the supper table, it's nothing wrong with that. Well, to me it is.
To me it is. Everybody else to their own opinion. But when God says it's wrong to partake of it, it's wrong to partake of it. If the Lord told me, he says, it's wrong for me to partake of this pure spring water. If God's word said it was wrong for me to take it at, it's wrong for me to take it. It don't make no difference what it looks like to me. It's wrong. That's just like Paul. And I'm going to close with this part. Paul, what did he say when he went out and when he went among the people and when he went out and he ate with different people? He always taught his followers what he believed. He did not push it on them, but he told them, he says, if I eat this meat, and if it offends you, I should not eat of it. That's not very word by word what it had, but that's the same thing. But it's basically the same thing. Said, for me to eat that meat, if it brings any kind of offense on you, I am supposed to
abide by your wishes. I'm not to partake of it. That's the same thing as when we go out and visit people. We can go out and visit people all we want. We can do it every day. But if we don't do it the right way, if we don't do it the biblical way, then God will not bless it. He says in His word that we must go two by two. We must go out two by two. As we go out two by two, we're supposed to share what I believe with the witnessing part. To me, now this just is to me, where I look at it, where I understand it myself, which, you know, everybody's got their own interpretation of it. But to me, what witnessing and what soul winning means to me is that tell the people, let the people know what my life is all about and whom I'm serving. It's a testimony. Testimony. We all have a testimony. And a testimony is your life and what you've done with your life. And I hope and pray to God, I do, that I never get to the place within my mind and my heart that I would ever bring any type of shame or reproach against Him, against this church, and against you. That's my prayer. I don't think I could live. I don't think I could live a life that way. There's a whole lot of people living it. We don't need to live that way. We just need to have a testimony. And it first off, the testimony said, I need to let you know what God has done for me. What God has done for me. See, the whole lot of people ain't heard my testimony. But I can share it with them. That's what we need to do. If we really want to see some of these pews right here being full, if we want to see more people in this church, that's what we got to do. Not go out and quote scripture to them and tell them, well, you know, we'd like for you to be in church. You know you need to be in church. You need to get them in church. They know they need to get in church. They know to get them kids in church. But they don't know what kind of blessing that they'll receive. We need to tell them what kind of blessing that we receive every time we come to church. And you know, I receive a blessing every time. I do. I receive a blessing. And just seeing you here, that right there is a blessing enough for me. But I can always go back to the first part of the morning when I first woke up. and I can look at the blessings that He has bestowed upon me and my family that day, all through the day. Our Father, we want to thank You, Lord, for this time. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that You would help us to continue on being faithful to You, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that we can, and we would be willing to share our testimony with the people that we come in contact with. The Father, and that will show our love for You, and also show the love for the individual. Father, we do thank You for this day. We thank You for this service tonight. Lord, we know, Father, that You're going to touch people. And Father, there's nothing that I know that You cannot do. Lord, we do thank You. And Father, we ask, Lord, that Your will be done tonight in each and every individual. And Father, I pray, Lord, that You'll be with us the rest of this week. Father, we'll have a good day. We'll have a good week. And we can all be back in God's house this coming Sunday. And then, Father, that we can have the Christmas dinner after the morning service. Father, because we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor that You deserve, and You deserve much more than what we can give You. Our Father, we're giving You what we can and what we got. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.